Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL. Okay! Welcome to FMLPL Milan!
I am Nate.
Producer Nate filling in for a wisdom teeth removed Walsh.
Red flag Walsh.
Yeah. Bloody. Suspended. Bloody Walsh. Swollen Walsh. Can't talk Walsh. Yeah, thank you for filling in.
Pleasure to be here.
So this is the Game Week 20 / Me on Wildcard pod. Last game week for a while. We've basically ended the pile up here, then 2 weeks off before game week 21. We're doing a live stream. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to somehow like missed all that there was an actual break this year.
Well, it's funny you say that because in my head I was like, oh, great. The players finally get a break. It's like every team has at least five injuries that are important, it feels like. And then you look at the actual fixtures and there's FA Cup games, EFL Cup games, like, in both of these breaks. I'm like, they're not really getting a break. And then everyone going to AFCON and Asian Cup is going to play like 120 minutes every 3 days because that's always how it goes.
Sorry, finish your housekeeping. I interrupted.
Oh, no, you're good. I mean, nothing else. We're doing a live stream tomorrow and then, you know, that's it basically for the pilot. But how you doing, dude?
Pretty good on a nice little Christmas couple days.
Nice.
Been following your musings. Been enjoying that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's fun to write that kind of shit, to be honest.
Yeah, you used to do more of that. Both of you.
We used to do the lineup lambs for the OG FMLPL fans will know lineup lamentations. It was actually really nice. I forgot what it feels like to like write out what you're thinking in the moment. And it's sort of like, well, obviously it like captures a moment in time, but it also makes you think about stuff as you're writing it and rereading it. And then when when I'm actually finalizing my wildcard team, I have stuff to look back on and be like, oh yeah, wait, I was here. Like, why am I off that now? You know, and you can like analyze your own decisions.
Yeah, exactly. It's published and time stamped. So you can like really easily just pull it up and just go through your thinking and see where you landed.
Yeah, it's very much like why analyzing decisions with and removing a little bit of bias, because it's like, oh, like Spurs concede four, and you know, I'm sure a lot of people are like ripping Poro.
Everything
out of their
changes,
team.
Yeah.
But then you should look back and be like, wait, but Poro was in every one of my drafts. Like, why am I doing that? Right. You know,
especially the last couple of days. A lot of emotional responses happening, I'm sure, from everybody.
Let's pull up Team Nate.
Oh, wow.
Never before seen Team Producer Nate here. Doing pretty well, I would say.
I started the season pretty well, then had like a couple of bad weeks, and now I've just been kind of like treading water, slowly improving. Like really tiny green arrows, like the last three or four.
But this week you got a chunky green arrow, nice like 100k. So
was it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this shit is updated. Probably not. Yeah. But you went from 460 to 380. So
yeah.
New. That's a nice one.
373.
I think anytime you bring in Johnny Evans, you can expect a 100k green arrow.
It almost worked out. He almost had an assist. That was just like a. I was just look at my bench. I mean,
yeah.
My red bench flag, this week was Lascelles, Palmer,
dark Chukwemeka. Orange flag and suspended. Another red flag, yeah.
And Evans was, I don't even remember, some other red flag guy.
Easy.
So I just needed
Raya.
Like another. Oh, yeah. Raya's been great.
Raya pen save to bail you out there. Yeah,
pad my stats.
Yeah.
I was really, honestly, I mean, when I saw Ben Rama was taking it, I was like, oh, Raya has this. They played together for years. Like, you know, he's like definitely going to finesse it to the right.
There you go.
And Raya was like, okay.
Yeah. They probably have practiced like 100 pens against each other or something.
Yeah, it was just the perfect pairing for him.
Yeah. Yeah. You transferred out Lamptey and Simmy.
Oh, yeah.
Lamptey, so you were flagged up your ass and, you know, plus nine I'm just, on yeah, Evans I'm just and
digging all the trash out of my hole here.
And accidentally leaving your cap on Ollie almost worked out really well. Yeah. After Mo blanked, it was like, oh, yeah, it was probably better, you know?
Yeah, lost a couple points there, but whatever.
No big deal.
Ollie's been fucking... I'm sure we'll talk about him at some point.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
Yeah, that's a test of patience right there. I'm on 42 this week. Very small red arrow for me. Once all the, you know, auto subs and shit settles. Stones, again, just... I finally get a start from him, and he comes off injured. Three consecutive one-pointers for me. Minus 15 on the Stones over Poro transfer. And then I also brought in Trips for two good fixtures, three total points in two game weeks, and just fucking unbelievably bad transfers. Like, there's pretty much anyone I would have brought in instead of those two would have been better.
Yeah. I mean, there's been no City defense pick the whole season, pretty much.
Kyle, like, starting every
game.
I think it
started with Akanji, actually, early on. But
I kind of remember that.
He was great. And then, it was just, there's no, there's been some consistency. I guess you could have Ake or something, but.
I mean, Kyle's literally played every single game.
He's played every single game.
90 in every single game, the entire season.
We're all just convincing ourselves.
But he has no points.
Yeah.
He has 53 points. In 1890s. I mean, it's fucking awful.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And I'm going to wild card out of a lot of these guys. So we'll get there. Not going to do any league updates. I mean, the match is just finished like an hour and a half ago. So I don't think anything's updated correctly yet. Do that on next pod. So I guess we should just start with my wild card. Oh, I don't know. We got questions in like different position groups, so I kind of broke them down like that.
Okay.
It's too bad that, you know, Walsh isn't here, because the first bunch of questions we got were on keeper, and that's Walsh's favorite topic.
Shit. Yeah. He loves keepers.
Yeah. I mean, Dyer said Emi Martinez. Sigurd said, I just popped my wild card. Who do I get for keepers? Neto, the keeper for wild carders. Bolter said, either I play Dubravka and his horrible fixtures, or I get Bob replacement, Bob Sanchez, I guess he still owns. Is Raya just the obvious best keeper to get? I don't know. Do you feel strongly about any of these guys?
I don't feel strongly about keeper, really. Yeah. I mean,
same.
Pickford still seems good.
Yeah.
I mean, Everton's just solid. Raya's the best, I think. Mm-hmm. Allison, Raya. I mean, Pickford's fine. Dubravka seemed like a little hack, but Newcastle's just like, it's not happening right now.
They're
and for the next few weeks, they're not keeping it clean.
Yeah, I mean, the thing,
but
that...
why not have him? Like, why not just hold him on your bench?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to hold him, I think. Whether he's my starter or my backup depends on, like, the rest of the team, if I feel like I need the money or not. The thing with Dubravka that I was... just reminded of as Areola gets like a fucking 11 pointer against Arsenal.
He was
like,
unreal. He was so fucking
it's
good.
Like, we always try and rotate keepers. We always try and play fixtures, and it's just a nightmare. It's such a nightmare position. Like, it's the only position where at Arsenal you might get a bigger score than home Chef U. Like,
in
every other case, the point ceiling is very much lower in the at Arsenal fixture, but in keeper it's just like, that's when they get the fucking dumb haul.
But you do want some chance of a clean at least, and Newcastle that has not been the case for the past six games or so.
Yeah. I mean, they've been awful. They have their first week off, and then they get 2 weeks off, and then they get another 2 weeks off. They're getting fit. I mean, if they don't buy someone, I just can't get it out of my head that, like, at Liverpool, home Man City, at Villa, like, Dubrov's got a double-digit haul in one of those. Like, it's just destiny.
Probably
like,
Villa, because Ollie loves to just finish poorly right at the keeper.
I mean, even at Anfield, like, their first week off, they just got absolutely embarrassed. I'm like, they're about to just double-decker park, put in, like, a defensive performance, just like the Man United game, sort of, like... I'm just like, ah, geez, it feels simultaneously bad to start him and bad to bench him. But I'm not really, as for like who to get on wild card, I mean, I feel like I haven't actually done this yet. But I'll try and do it in a like musings post before, you know, everything's actually final. But you want the magic combo of like their best on their team, on their respective team for baseline bones, right? So like you want the scenario where if Everton keep it clean, Pickford's going to outbone the other defenders, for example, which in Pickford's case, he usually does. You also want the combo of like, they allow shots, but they're not that good of shots, right? So like,
yeah.
I mean like friend of the pod, Bullet, always posts nice. This thing. Yeah. Keepers that get saves and bonus are much better than keepers that don't get saves and bonus, right? And so, like, that's my hesitation with, like, Araya. And the same reason I don't really like going Ederson, right? It's like, when Arsenal clean, they concede, like, one shot, and he's nowhere near bonus ever, and he gets a six-pointer. Whereas, like, if Neto cleans, he's probably getting a save point, and he's definitely getting bonus. And it's the same with Pickford. And so I think I always still am leaning towards those like mid-priced guys more than the, you know, really expensive guys. I don't know what Allison Dyche somehow is the guy, gets a lot.
Yeah. Dyche has always been the master of like his keepers are just the master of that. Right.
Yeah. So I do like the Pickford shout. I mean, the fixtures, I could not care less. If you're wildcarding like I am, like, it's game week 20. Everyone plays everyone. Like, I don't care. You're not you're never using a free on this spot. So whoever you're getting, I don't care. They're going to play more than half the league before you use your second wild card. So like, whatever.
They're a lot better Everton fixtures now than they were a few weeks ago.
And Everton are also good, you know, so everything is better than it seems. You know, they're just like much better than Wolves, Fulham, Palace, these teams on their fixture list that are like, oh, I don't know. They're just way better than those teams. So, you know, whatever. Fucking keeper. Nightmare.
Have you listened to the Newcastle follow-up double pivot pod yet?
I haven't yet. I was traveling. I just didn't have time. Yeah,
They just threw out this stat early on that since the Arsenal win in November 4th or whatever that was.
Gordon goal back in the day. Yeah.
Newcastle's averaged 2 expected goals allowed per game. It's 1.96. I like did the math just to make sure because it sounded
that's got to be unreal. Worse than the league.
Yeah. Because there's a few like 3.5s and they're like 4.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Wood himself got like over 2. Yeah. So.
So yeah, that's just I think don't rely on Dubrovka, but like there's so many cheap guys like
the thing with Newcastle, I mean, I don't want to go like too deep into them because I think most people are selling their Newcastle assets rightfully before these 3 fixtures, but I'm still kind of a believer, and by the time these 3 bad fixtures are done, that's over two months from now, basically. No, sorry. Over a month and a little from now. You know, February 3rd, game week 23. They start a really good run. They're probably going to be mostly fit by then because there's not that many matches. They're only playing once a week because they're knocked out of Europe. And I'm just like, that is in the back of my mind to like, okay, probably actually will want to go back to trips then, but it's very far away. So like, I'm not worrying about it now for my wild card or whatever, but just something in the back of my mind. Another reason
they're
going to
be fine once they get some guys back.
Yeah.
And the schedule chills out a little bit.
That's basically what I think. Yeah. Okay. So that's done. Keeper done. Let's talk about Arsenal quick before we do next position, because Andy said a wildcard chat regarding my third Arsenal guy. I'm currently keeping Saka and Gabriel, having such a hard time and feel like I'm getting it wrong between White, Odegaard, Raya for my third guy. And I feel like it's going to be plus or minus 20 points over the next four game weeks. It does feel that way. I mean, who do you think you would go for in an imaginary world where you're on a wild card? I mean, Arsenal have the fixtures. They're not losing any of their top guys for AFCON or Asian Cup. So it seems like a good place to go.
Well, yeah. Well, if anything, it's kind of like that those two cups are kind of cementing the back four even more. I mean, Tomiyasu's kind of injured anyway, but he's close to being back. But he's about to leave. Partey, yeah. Also, he's been close to back for like 2 months or whatever. And
yeah,
if he's fit, he's going straight to Ghana. So yeah, the back four is, you know, is what it is. So it's kind of a grab bag, though. Like, I still think going anyone over Gabriel is probably overthinking it.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if White is really... I mean, in these games where we're really pinning the other team, like, he's kind of getting forward, but really, since Zinchenko has really locked into left back, quote unquote, White is really more of like a right center back. Because it's really like either... The back three is either Saliba, Gabriel, Rice, or Saliba, Gabriel, White. And so he's occasionally making those runs down the end line. But like, it's, I don't know if it's really like more than the amount of corners we're getting, which is a lot. And Gabriel's always been, I think he's like one of the highest goal scoring defenders in the league since he came to the Prem.
Yeah, he always gets a ton of shots and XG compared to other
defenders. Yeah, I guess that's like a calculation, and assists obviously are worth less. So I kind of feel like it's not that big of a difference, and it's not really worth the extra money.
Okay.
Especially now that it's over 0.5. It's like potentially fucking something else up in your team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to say that because, yeah, I do feel like purely just watching, nothing to do with numbers, like White is overlapping less this year than he did last year. I feel like so many times last year getting to the byline, crossing or cutting back, and just, you know, getting or creating big chances. But because my temptation was to go both Zinchenko and Ben White and just be like, these are the nailed fullbacks for now with no, you know, Kivior, I mean, no Timber, no Tomiyasu. Like, they're going to start every game, I think.
I was trying to think of a good analogy for Zinchenko right now. He's like,
oh, God.
It's like, so like Jekyll and Hyde, like bipolar, two-faced.
Yeah.
Like, he's so important to the team still, and he does a lot of really good stuff, but his bad side is worse than it's ever been.
Yeah.
He's just fucking losing his head in these moments. And like, some really bad giveaways. His tackling is just horrible now.
Yeah.
Like, he's usually
today, like today he was terrible. I thought White was bad today too.
Most of the season he's been kind of like coasting, you know, not being a liability defensively, like putting pressure where there needs to be pressure and like covering space when he needs to, like nipping in and winning some balls or whatever. But yeah, it's not going well for him right now, but there's no one to bring in. I mean, Kivior technically,
to be Kivior,
but like,
right?
Yeah, he doesn't seem fully trusted in the same way that, you know, it would change the shape of the team so much at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going anywhere, but it is like, I don't know. It's not necessarily affecting him in fantasy except for yellow cards, which are like, very much on the table with how he's been playing with some of these tackles.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he racks up quite a few in the next few games.
Yeah. Yeah, he got away with one today. It's just like a natural thing, I think, in FPL to go for A, the more expensive players, right? They always seem more shiny and cool. And then B, like the fullbacks over the center backs. But maybe I'm just doing a bad job actually evaluating like Gabriel's goal threat, which is, again, like you said, twice as many points as an assist anyway. But I don't know. There's also the attack, right? You don't have to double defense, and you certainly don't have to go Raya. I think most people are on Sokka. I mean,
yeah.
Nothing he did today changed that as a pick for me. I mean, he had 9 shots today. Like, he was just, you know, Arsenal were just pushing so hard, and he was central. But
yeah,
what do you think about?
I think he had a chance early on.
Yeah.
He had, like, the first 35 minutes or so, like, they really weren't doubling him as fast, as quick as normal. And I think he could have done more damage down the wing.
Yeah, he basically got 2 good chances in the first, like, 30 minutes or something, maybe 40 minutes. And then he just took some other shots. But he's capable of scoring those also. You know, I like to see the volume. But Sutton's question was, are we sure Saka's a better pick than Odegaard? I'm curious what you think of Odegaard, who had, like, that weird kind of slow start to the season, possibly a concussion. And then now he just looks fucking incredible again.
Yeah, basically everyone assumes he was not 100% fit for, like, the first 2 months.
It was a while,
At least. And because there's just, like, it's like a switch got flipped, you know?
Yeah.
The 3 weeks, I mean, it's 4 games, but 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, 2-3 weeks ago. Yeah, he looks amazing. I mean, I don't think it's clear between them. I was considering bringing Odegaard too, but, like, Saka's so expensive now.
But everyone has money, right? Everyone's getting rid of Mo. This week or next week, and getting Son this week or next week, right? So
yeah, no, I don't. I think it's tight for sure. I still think Saka's going to get more shots. You know, period. Odegaard might take them better.
Yeah,
he obviously has really good technique and can finish and is creating. I mean, all these little, like, flicks and back heels they're flowing. So.
Yeah.
Someone's got to finish a fucking chance one of these days. And, you know, the way it's been for us this year, it's kind of like if one person scores, everybody scores.
Mm.
Like, we either have games like this today where, like, we nick one or the other team nicks one, we can't fucking score. Or it's 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Like some of the Champions League games. But Saka edges him a little bit, but it's still a toss up, I think.
What do you think just in general about, like, doubling the attack versus doubling the defense? I think, like, what we've seen most of the year is just, like, a really conservative, kind of control-y, keep a clean sheet type of setup from Mikel. But, like, I don't know, are you seeing, like, enough of a spike recently in the attack that you're like, yeah, I expect, like, cleans to be not as consistent, but, like, we're going to start scoring a lot of goals in a good run?
I don't think I would double at this point. Unless... Double attack.
Oh, okay.
Unless somebody like Jesus, Martinelli, or Kai, like, start to really... I mean, Kai. I've been having my eye on him.
Kai,
he's looking pretty fucking good, yeah. And it's his role too. He's, like, basically second striker.
Yeah.
He's camping out on that back post for all those soccer crosses. Like, I think this game today, like, really, we really needed him.
Yeah.
Like, Trossard was just, like, he's just such a different presence. He was, like, you know, some of the trading off with Martinelli is nice. Like, it kind of confuses the defense, but it's not the same as having this other outlet up there and, like, so much more control in the box and the aerial threat. And he's just been playing well in general. Like, finally just kicking the ball, making contact with the ball confidently, which he took him a while. But I think I would maybe wait until, like, somebody else starts popping off a little bit more.
Mm. I feel like you can make the argument that Kai has already begun popping off.
He's,
like,
begun, I think.
Liverpool game aside, he was quiet. But in recent, like, since, like, I'm just trying to look at his game log. Like, since sort of the Burnley match, like game 12-ish, even off the bench, he's getting like shots. He's getting big chances. He has 4 goals. I don't know. I mean, it's one thing to say, like, give it time, but I don't have time. I'm on wild card this week, not next week, you know? So I'm like, maybe there's a punt there, but going him over Odegaard feels like kind of fucking insane.
It's just
but,
a budget. Yeah. It's like, if for some reason, you know, if it's, you want an expensive guy and a cheap guy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cause there's a pretty big gap still. He's like 7-1.
Yeah. 7-1 versus 8-4.
I don't know. I'm kind of waiting on Martinelli to fucking get his shit together.
Oh, cause dude,
it's really
rough season for him.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about other midfielders, because I think that's who we're like comparing these guys to anyway. Because everyone, as aforementioned, if you don't know by now, Mo and Son are both going away, and any AFCON Asian Cup players are going away. They won't play in Game Week 21. And then the further they go in the competition, the more game weeks they'll miss. So, and they could miss up to like, I don't know. Kev on Discord told me today that like, the teams that make the finals or semifinals, whatever round we're at in the EFL Cup, I don't even know, will also blank in Game Week 26. And like Liverpool has a two-leg semifinal, I think it is, against Fulham. And Chelsea has a two-leg semifinal against Middlesbrough. So obviously they're the two favorites. And so if that happens, I mean, we might not have Mo until like Game Week 27 at this point. If Egypt go far, and same with Son, if South Korea goes far and Tottenham end up blanking in 26, like who the fuck knows? So everyone will be getting rid of these players this week or next week. And the question is like, who do we get? I mean,
is any of that stuff confirmed? Like in terms of the national team, like squads, like is all that stuff
gone.
Like 100%?
Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely gone.
Sometimes there's some weird shit that happens.
There's other guys, I think, that got like announced a little bit later, like Onana and Kudus and stuff like that. But everything else is saying like, yeah, these are, they're like literally the
Onana
captains
is
of
going
the teams.
Officially, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so I mean, the people are asking about other mids, and Kid said, is Raz a pick? Aurelio said, who's the best 9 and under? Benji, is there an argument to say the four best midfielders at the moment are all leaving in one game week? Mo, Son, Kudus, and Hwang. Solly said, can we talk about City mids? And Max said, what do we think about Richarlison after watching the Brighton game? Any thoughts?
Bowen's feeling pretty fucking good. I mean, TBD on the Kudus listness of it, you know, the impact of that. But I mean, he's the striker. He's like the main man more than he's ever been for them.
Yeah.
So that kind of, he seems great. Foden's looking good. Raz, I don't know about that.
We don't know how they're going to gel. They're at such a weird spot right now where, like, I think they're actually playing pretty well, at least attacking, but they also, we don't know who's going to play, like, in terms of Raz and Cuckoo, Palmer, Nico, like, which midfielder misses out between, like, Gallagher, Enzo, Caicedo. Like, it's just kind of weird. We don't really know the connections there.
Yeah, Chelsea's definitely looking a lot better, but just no idea what they're gonna do. It's just too much of a wild card situation.
It's definitely a punt, but like at the same time, 4 out of their next 5 fixtures are at Luton, home Fulham, home Wolves, at Palace, and that's why it's maybe worth talking about, because you know he could like double return in any of those. But
if he plays,
I have a really hard time like wrapping my head around like, what, and this applies to many different teams, like what does losing good player from the starting 11 do to the other good players in the starting 11, right? So it's like, what does Kudus out do to the production of the other West Ham players? Mo out, you know, other players out too for other teams. I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. I'm kind of with you on Bowen. I keep talking about him every week as like, he's obviously just good and he's just having like a career, very good season. But again, if you swap Kudus for like fucking Ings or, you know,
today, Mubamba. For example, like, yeah, Kudus was kind of the only reason West Ham got up the field.
He was so good. Yeah, he was great.
Like Bowen wouldn't have touched the ball, I don't think, if Kudus wasn't there. But they're not playing Arsenal every week.
Even still, Bowen had zero shots.
Yeah.
Like, he just got an assist on one very weird, may have been out of bounds, deflected. But he does that. He seems to do that every week. He returns every week.
Yeah. The next Brighton, Jeff United, Bournemouth, and Man United are not the same thing.
Yeah, they're not at Arsenal. And even the Arsenal game in 24, at least it's home. Yeah, so like that's the one obviously very bad fixture in a run that otherwise is really good till maybe at Newcastle in game week 30. I mean, that's it. Yeah, Bowen should probably...
But also, Kudus might be back for that anyway.
Yeah, right. Kudus will be back by, you know,
so far at
NFO
now.
In 25.
Like 2 months away.
Latest. Yeah. Yeah, and I have no idea, like, the quality of Ghana this tournament. Like, are they good? Like, I don't fucking know. So they could get knocked out early, and then he's back in, like, game 22.
Easily,
And it doesn't even fucking matter. Yeah, Bowen should spend more time in my wildcard team, probably.
How do you feel about Elanga?
I mean, I think he would be starting weekly for Man United, and they really fucked up by getting rid of him. He's looked really good this season.
Yeah.
You know, he was obviously electric against Newcastle.
Yeah, he was unreal.
Yeah. And so he's good. Done that a bunch of times this season, I think. I mean, he's had like a couple double return games, and then he's had, you know, some goals, and those are basically all on the counter. That's all they do is counter, but he looks great. The fixtures are bad, but, you know, for the price, who's getting Elanga, I guess, is like my question. Like, you're doing, I guess people are doing like Gordon to him, or like,
if you don't like Palmer. Yeah.
What, you don't like Palmer? You think
no,
he's
no,
not
I
a
do.
Good pick?
No, no, no. I said, are you getting him over Palmer?
Yeah. Like I would rather have Palmer, but there are
Palmer's
many
been a machine for me.
Non-believers also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Elanga, also there's like Garnacho. Like there are like pretty good cheap mids. I just don't think either of them are better than Palmer. And then I don't know if, and this is like kind of a wider discussion that's kind of hard to talk about at the same time, but like I also don't know how many midfielders are better than the really attacking defenders that are on offer. I'm not counting Trent. Just put him aside. Trent should be in every team. Ridiculous. But then there's like Porro, Estupiñán, Moreno, and these guys are just like, I don't really expect a clean ever, and I also kind of expect an attack and return every game.
Trips is as good as the last two of those guys you named.
Yeah, Trips
right
even
now,
too.
even with the bad fixtures.
Yeah, so like
he's just so attacking.
It's hard for me to compare those kinds of guys who usually in a normal FPL season I wouldn't want because the defense is so bad and the cleans are so unlikely to compare those to like mids that I'm not that convinced on. Like Bowen is good, but like Raz is a punt. Like Foden looks really good, but like who knows when Kevin Holland come back. You know, he might be good for 2 weeks and that's it. Who else have we even been talking about? Like Elanga, Garnacho, Richarlison, who plays 60 minutes a week and is losing Son. You know, like how do I compare those mids to those defenders is something that I'm going to be like wrestling with a lot.
It almost feels like, oh, we can get all these expensive mids. Like, it's like a treat. Like, oh, we can get Foden and Raz and Odegaard and Bowen and Saka, and I can afford all these guys because they cost a lot of money. But like, is Garnacho and Palmer and Elanga, are they all better? They might be.
They might
like in FPL. If you just like delete the price, like who's actually going to score goals?
And yeah, like I trust Bowen and Odegaard, and I trust Palmer, and I trust Saka.
I don't know that I trust Odegaard to score more points than Palmer.
Like, yeah, no, I actually agree. I agree. I meant just trust as like an, even just like in general as like an asset who will occasionally return. But like, yeah, in terms of like Rich, Foden, Raz, whoever else people are looking at, I'm kind of blanking
right
now.
Kind of stretching like, just because you can.
Yeah, whereas like I look at Porro, who concedes 4 goals today and was bad, and then gets an assist and 2 bones.
Yeah.
And like he just shits out a 5-pointer, like in garbage time 5-pointer, a backdoor senor. And like a Stupinian plays his first 45 minutes in months and just scores a fucking worldy banger because he basically is their left winger. And I'm like, even if they're cleaning as infrequently as they have been, I mean, Brighton have literally 0 cleans. Porro and Spurs have somehow scammed into a few cleans. Like whether it's 1-5, 1-6, whatever, just their attacking intent is like kind of similar to like these other mids that we're talking about. Or the
do you
numbers.
Think, do you think Stupinian's like starting the next game?
Well, originally I would have said like if he started today, I was going to say like definitely not off such a long-term injury and then a really short turnaround. They play Tuesday. I guess it's not that short, but like, you know, shorter than ideal. But he only played 45. Seems like Igor might be actually hurt. And Dunk is suspended. I mean, he's got to play, I think.
Yeah.
When he's fit, I mean,
they just don't have
the
Zerbi
just
guys.
Fucking drives him into the ground.
I don't even know who these guys are on their page. I mean, I know Van Hack and a stupid young arm, but Igor? Didn't know who he was until today.
Yeah, they bought Igor him Julian. From Serie A, I think. And
some guy named
he's
Jackson.
Been okay,
Ben but... Jackson, never heard of him.
Yeah. No,
Lee
they have a lot
Kavanaugh.
Of guys. Yeah.
Generated player.
Generated football manager player. And they said, I retweeted this, but they said today, 6 of the Brighton players who played today weren't alive when Milner made his debut. And Milner was on the pitch, like playing well.
It's getting to the point where those stats are less and less surprising because of how fucking old he is.
I know.
But he was also really good.
They're just running out teenagers and destroying Spurs for fun. I mean, yeah, so I don't know, like, and then there's the issue of like deciding between those aforementioned defenders is where my wild card gets like really messy. I think forward has like a pretty clear chalk 3 that like most people will go like Dom, Ali, and Alvarez with money in the bank to move Alvarez to Holland, or you just go Dom, Ali, Holland, and you know bench Holland or just have you know a good fifth attack or whatever. I think is like. That's obvious. But yeah, like which mids to throw in there and trust and which defenders and how many defenders to trust is kind of driving me up the wall. Do you have any guidance for me in this moment of darkness?
Well, you just like brought something else up if I can pivot for a second. Just because Darwin, I think he's very much a shout to be in there. Like,
oh my God.
Especially with Haaland coming back, are you holding Jalv? Is he really better than Darwin? Also, what's happening with Jota coming in? Who's going to play in the middle? Like, I don't really know Liverpool as well. Like,
yeah. I think
Jota
that's
was
big,
in the middle, right? When he subbed on.
Yeah, I think that's a big, like, sort of unanswerable question at this moment because, you know, like, most of these guys have never played games when Mo is not in the team because Mo just plays 90 every week. Like, I think that like what we saw was Gakpo, Darwin were kind of splitting time left wing and central and they played really well together. Like it seems like to me at least they should keep starting together when Mo's out because it's a good enough partnership. And then it's like, if that is true, which is a big if, I don't really know shit, then the right side is between Diaz and Jota. I mean, Diaz has been out of form for a bit and he got kind of hurt. Jota just came back from a long injury, so is he ready to like start games and play 60 minutes? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, obviously I love Darwin. I think about him all the time. He's like my favorite player right now to watch. But yeah. Him over any of Dom or either of Dom or Ollie feels fucking insane. Like it feels like malpractice because even when he does start, he gets 70 to 80 minutes, Darwin, and those guys are 90 every week. And good. It's not like they're not good. They're both very good and putting up good numbers. And then Alvarez thing is like, no, I don't really want him when Kevin Hollander back, even though he did start when they were both fit, but that's a whole different thing. But I do still want him, assuming Holland isn't ready to start for like Home Chef U this week. But like maybe in the same way that like I'm not that fond of booking transfers, maybe I should just like jump the gun on Alvarez and be like, whatever, he has one good fixture and then I don't want him anymore because Holland will probably be back. But like, I don't know, because he might also be my captain this week, honestly, Alvarez.
Really?
I mean, he's Home Chef U. I haven't looked that closely, but like he's definitely in the conversation.
Yeah. I've just never seen him as like a hat trick potential kind of guy. Like
yeah.
A real like big. I mean, he has some hauls, but I don't know.
No, that's fair. I mean, he's more of a, I think he's more of like a goal and an assist or two would be like his haul and Max Bones. He's really good on Bones because he's kind of number 10-ish, kind of false nine-ish. And, you know, that, you know, he has a 14-pointer. He just got an 8-pointer. Like, you're not mad at that as your cap. But I agree. I don't think he's really, I think hat-tricky.
Mo home Newcastle is pretty amazing.
I know. I just don't think I'll have Mo. Is the
Darwin.
Weird thing with being on Darwin. Wild card in this weird week. I don't know. I think a lot of people will keep Mo and just plan for a double move of Mo out and then a forward maybe named Alvarez to Holland. But I just, in my tinkers, I couldn't figure out a way to like keep Mo and build a team that I want that's ready for a switch to Holland. And I don't want to, I'm hesitant to book one transfer. I'm even more hesitant to book like a double change.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're kind of all over the place, but yeah. But
your original question was just what to do in midfield, basically.
Yeah. It went from what do we do in midfield to what do we do? We think of the midfielders versus defenders to which defenders to which.
Well,
forwards.
What are you on right now? It's your latest musing didn't have a draft in it.
I should have probably had this open. I forgot to open it before we started. I mean, the latest one didn't have one. The musings before my midfield was
Jota,
hold Son, hold Saka, Palmer, Garnacho on the bench, and then Jota was just kind of a placeholder. I mean, he could be any of the mids we talked about, whether it's Bowen, Foden, you know, whatever, Rich. I've gotten less into the idea of holding Son. I just don't really, what I wrote is like it feels like a decision based on fear. Like I'm just literally scared that he's gonna get a triple return and I'm gonna go down a lot because he's so heavily owned and probably captain this week. But like also he's playing winger and like Spurs aren't that good and Bournemouth are good, and you know, I'm just less into the idea of like holding him. If you count a free transfer as like roughly 4 points, I'm like kind of rather just have someone and 4 points than hold Son and have to deal with him in a week.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather have Foden, I think.
Yeah, I'd rather have Foden, Home Chef U, who's in. He's basically nailed, right? Like, we don't expect Holland back. We don't expect Kev back.
Yeah.
I mean, in West Ham or home, Brighton. Like aforementioned, zero clean sheets on the season, Brighton. And, you know, like West Ham are going to do literally exactly what they did today. Park, counter through Kudus. Hopefully they have Paqueta back, counter. Bowen's going to be on the end of some
way
stuff.
Way worse defenders.
Way and worse less, defenders. Less and defenders. A way open, more open team that plays with zero DMs as opposed to Declan Rice.
It's and like, just you know, lost like, their best center back. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'd rather have Bowen, I think, also. So, yeah. The more I've thought about it, and maybe I'll do another tinker after this episode or something, the less I think I'll be on Sun.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like a big risk to me not have going without him, honestly.
It is only because he's so highly owned and it's like still a home, you know, pretty good fixture. But
yeah,
when I can't let ownership just have this like chokehold over me. Like, even if I get one, I always have a bad week after the week I wildcard. I mean, that is just FPL lore to get a big red arrow the week you wildcard and then steadily climb back. Yeah. I have to trust that. I have to trust that I'm going to climb back and make good decisions. What do you think about Rich with no Son incoming?
Well, what's it even going to, what's their front line going to look like? Kulu's out, right?
I think it'll be, well, yeah, let's just, he's only suspended one game, so let's just count him in. Like, I think it'll be left to right, Brennan, Rich, Kulu. And then assuming Matto is still out, it'll be Lo Celso, like, be like 10, Lo Celso, Sarr, and then, you know, Bazuma. And then, you know, the rest is
Brennan,
basically normal.
Rich, Kulu with Lo Celso. It just feels like
it's pretty
Watford
bad.
Or something.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's not good.
Brennan's like, wait, my striker at NFL was literally better than my striker at Spurs. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
I don't know. It's not, I mean, it's obviously he's a striker. I don't know. We don't need
and
the
he
value.
Plays 60 minutes.
I don't think he's worth it. I mean, they're a very attacking team, but.
Yeah. I mean, that's like really the.
I wish they had
best
like.
Thing you could say about them, I feel like, is like.
What happened to all their Brians?
Who?
They have like multiple heels and Ruiz, not Ruiz.
Oh my god!
Guy.
Yeah, that's old school.
Like, they need another exciting guy, like another attacker.
Yeah,
if there was someone who could come in and like maybe outwork Son and be like an exciting new dribbly guy. Like,
they have the Kane money, and it's about to be January. I don't know.
Maybe they'll buy some. I mean, they kind of have to, right?
They will definitely buy a defender, I think. That's like nailed on. Not nailed on is if they will buy an attacker and if it'll be someone who's like actually good or just like a young prospect who Ange likes or something like that.
They're just so fucked. Like, even Manor Solomon and fucking...
Yeah, Solomon got hurt too. He was actually
Harry,
looking good too.
Like, other guys who could be good on the wing are just not there. It's... Matto, if he was coming back. I mean, he'll be back soon, I guess. But.
Maybe. We haven't really heard anything. It was just like original estimate. Yeah, I think like I'm not that into the idea of Rich. And again, like back to what I was saying before, I feel like I would just rather start like Moreno, Porro, and Estupiñan than Rich. I mean, like, it might sound weird and I might be sitting with like a ton in the bank and my formation's definitely going to be weird. Like, I'm legitimately looking at like a 5-2-3 or a 4-3-3 or something, even in a season where there's no clean sheets. But I just don't have that much confidence in all the aforementioned mids. And I do have confidence in all of these defenders that they're going to, A, run into random cleans. I mean, Porro already has, Villa already has, Brighton eventually will keep it clean. And they're so fucking attacking.
I just, I don't think there's a point of Rich.
Yeah.
When you could have Bowen, Saka, Foden,
Palmer,
Odegaard.
Yeah. I'm with him.
I mean, I'm just
thinking
with
you. Yeah.
Bailey is even, Bruno is looking pretty good.
Like, yeah. I mean, even, I was even like perversely looking at Rashford. I was like,
yeah.
He's been awful all season. Everyone knows that. I'm not like breaking any ground there, but. He's a form player, so like as soon as he starts looking good, I kind of expect
Garnacho
him to
also. Yeah, I don't know how I forgot Garnacho. I love that
Garnacho.
Pick.
But like Rashford's always been a form player. As soon as he starts looking good, he's like he may go on a run of being really good. And I thought that, you know, based on his stats and highlights, I didn't see the match live. I mean, I thought he looked really good versus Villa for the first time all season. So maybe he's going to go on a run. You know, maybe that's a punt that I want to take. But I don't know. I just feel like, am I too high on the defenders, I guess, is maybe the question that I have for you. Like, am I too high on Moreno, Porro, Estupiñán?
No, but I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to think about it the way you are, in that it's like affecting your formation. Like, you don't need to start five guys.
Yeah, it's just, it like feels bad to bench.
All the good midfielders are so cheap. Like, defenders. I agree. It's worth making the investment in like the good defenders.
Yeah,
because all the midfielders that are good are cheap. So
right,
why not? But right, that doesn't mean you have to play a 5-3-2 or 5-2-3 right, or some weird shit, you know?
It's just like, yeah, no, totally. And I need to play with it more. And I don't even know if how the money works out if I were to go that route. But like, it's just really hard for me to bench any of Moreno, Porro, Estupiñán type of guys.
Probably in the next like 3 weeks, two of those guys are going to be red flagged.
Yeah, right.
So it doesn't matter. You won't even have to worry. And the
yellow card suspension.
Having a deep bench is going to be great. And it'll feel weird for a week. And then something fucked up will happen to one of them.
Yeah, that's FPL, baby. I also don't know. I don't think there's news on Dean's injury. So, I mean, it might not even be that bad. And Moreno might be out of my team by like tomorrow morning. So I don't know. But I am thinking about those a lot. What else is there? We kind of talked about all these guys. I don't know if we need to go further. So who are you looking at for cap this week?
Mo, because I think I'm still gonna have him. I still have Son and Mo, so
yeah.
I'm probably gonna transfer one of them out, and it's not gonna be him this week. Like, yeah, I'll probably get rid of Son maybe this week.
Man, they're both good this week though. I think
I could just roll the transfer, I guess. I still have a lot of issues in my team, but so it feels, I would love to
use the money
like Lascelles to Gusto, just like clean up my shit a little bit.
Yeah, do that then. You don't
but
have
then
to,
I won't have, have I won't have two transfers next week.
Yeah, I mean you'll just do it I'll over 2 weeks instead. Or if Holland's back, it'll be a hit. But like what's a hit? What's a hit in the win?
A hit is a hit.
Yeah, I mean, the cap this week's interesting. I think that Moholm Newcastle's a shout, even though personally, and maybe this is a don't trust fans moment, but like personally, I expect Newcastle to, like, with a week off, after an embarrassing result, come and park and be just really like focused and on it defensively. I think it's going to be a really, really hard game for Liverpool. I wouldn't cap him. Then there's Son home Bournemouth. I mean, Arsenal at Fulham, there's Man City home Sheffield, and there's Villa home Burnley. And I think there's like cap shouts all over the place. Between like Ali, Jalv, I mean, Foden's a punt, you know, Saka, I mean, Son.
If Burn is starting again.
He will. He probably
which
will.
Which I think he will. Yeah, because I think he will. Eddie didn't take him off in this game. No fucking idea how that didn't happen, but I mean, they're gonna have a field day.
They just need like
Trips is just like shooting himself in the foot every 5 seconds.
Yeah, they need like a legit
he's going like oxygen
tanks for everyone and like blood transfusions for everyone, and then they'll be like good again.
Trips is going Zinchenko mode.
Yeah, he's gone full Zinchenko. He's, you know, really
Shar and Botman are fine, but
yeah,
they have mistakes in them. They're not perfect. And Burn's just been really, I mean, I guess he's just playing too much, but
yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? It's like, I agree with everything you're saying. And if they played the way they've been playing, kind of aggressively pressing and attacking, I'm like, oh my God, we're going to fucking rip them to shreds. I have no chance. But if they're just sitting really deep and there's no space and it's like Bruno G, Miley, maybe Joe Linton's back in front of them and like the wingers always work really hard, I'm just like, then, you know, Trippier's not going to have the chance to shoot himself in the foot. You know, like there's no space behind Byrne anymore. And like, I'm just, that's what I'm kind of expecting. That's like the natural, even Ten Hag was aware enough to make that decision to park, you know? And it worked because of the nil-nil, but like, you know, United conceded like 30 something shots in 2.5 XG. So you could say like, well, Liverpool should have scored and won anyway, but it was tough. I mean, the good chances were hard to come by, and I kind of expect that.
Fair enough. I don't really know where else I'll go.
Yeah.
Unless I bring like a capable guy in. But
a gabagool in. You have Son. You probably, I assume you have Ollie, right?
I'm not capping Son. There's no way.
Okay.
Bournemouth's too good.
Yeah, Bournemouth's too good.
Bournemouth's too good. Spuds are not.
What about Ollie? Home Burnley. I mean, Burnley.
I'm done capping Ollie. It's not. Okay. I'm not, just not doing it anymore.
Yeah, it's fair. My big takeaway from the Liverpool Burnley match is just like, okay, Sheffield changed managers and now they're a bus. And sometimes buses don't. Sometimes the dam doesn't break and or the levee doesn't break, and you know it's tough.
Yeah.
Luton are always a tough bus, and it's the same. So same exact thing for that. Burnley are the last team left that have a really dumb manager who plays really attacking front foot football, even though none of his players are capable of doing it. And they're like the last, my last hope, my like dying hope of like they could concede five any week. Like they work a complete joke. First 45 minutes, Liverpool could have scored 4 or 5. Then in the second half, he was like, okay, we're going to park, actually. And then it became more of a, you know, whatever. The game just kind of petered out.
They're capable of it. It's just, it's funny with them. I felt that way in the Arsenal match. I was like, this is going to be perfect for us. You know, they play such a high line and they're aggressive and whatever. And then he came in and had this like whole different game plan just for Arsenal. And it was like, perfect. It was like, wow, they're actually really hard to break down. Like,
okay,
why haven't they been doing this the whole fucking year?
Yeah. And then
immediately go back to the other game plan right after.
Yeah, maybe I'm doing a disservice to company.
But I don't know if he's going to respect Villa in that way. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, he didn't respect Liverpool for 45 minutes, so why would he respect Villa?
I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, Villa's also kind of like been pretty kamikaze, like a you would think sitting and countering would work better on them. I mean, they're weird. They somehow keep people from doing that pretty well, but
well, unless it's very much Garnacho there and Rasmus Hoyland at the wheel, and they don't prevent shit. But I don't know. I'm interested in an Ollie cap. I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do, but obviously Ollie's been very bad. I mean, do you think, you mentioned your frustration with Ollie earlier, like, do you think there's a shout of me not going Ollie on wildcard? Because I haven't really played with that.
He's just like a ticking guy. I mean, he's in a good team.
Yeah.
He's a good player, but he's just like, he's been in the league long enough. We know who he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a guy that's like potentially one of the best strikers in the league, potentially golden boot guy. Like,
yeah. No, he's not.
He's like, I don't know. He reminds me of like Welbeck in his prime, kind of.
Mm. Yeah, that's
although
a good shot,
he was injured all the time, but like the more, you know, solid version of that. He's like, he's good at football. He's gonna get some assists, get some goals. He's in a good team, but like, I just don't trust him to ever explode and like finish hard chances or like.
Well, no, and that's like complete luck. If he ever
he's not gonna pull points out of his ass and like games where he has 0.08 XG or whatever.
Right.
Two shots. He's not like Vardying it, you know?
He's not going to have that Sun kind of hat trick where it's you got one tap in, but the other two were like worldies. Yeah,
exactly.
He's not Chris Wood.
So I'm fine holding him, but I mean, if there's three better guys that have them, like, Darwin, I do feel that. I do feel like I don't know about Darwin.
Like, yeah.
He might get to a place where he's regularly able to score braces and like you know, in the right games, obviously he's not going to score two goals a game, but
yeah.
But I think he has the capability of it, or at least the potential for it.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair.
On like a technical level, you know?
Yeah, it's just tough, man. It's tough with Ollie because, I mean, he's a classic case of like, just don't watch the games and just get the points.
Yeah.
And I think that like a perpetually underrated thing in all fantasy sports, not just FPL, is just minutes, time played. But like if you're going to tell me next 10 weeks, Ollie's going to start and play 90 every week, that's expected. He plays 90 every game. And Darwin's going to start every game and play 90. Yeah, I might pick Darwin. I mean, he might be on pens when Mo is gone. He has a higher ceiling, has a much better attacking team. But that's just not the actual world we live in. He's probably going to play 70 minutes most games that he starts. And then he's not going to start some games and he's going to play 20 minutes. It's like a fucking... It just like grows, the gap just grows the more minute differential there is, if that makes any sense.
I also feel like Villa as a team is not, it's not an unknown anymore. Like,
yeah,
people know how they play now. So they're not going to just give them tons of space.
Yeah.
You know,
they're going to treat them like a good team.
I don't think he's going to get any more like, 20 point.
Yeah, yeah, that fucking 23 pointer, ridiculous.
You know, he's probably still going to tick and be fine, and they're going to be a good team, but it's going to be harder for them to score goals, you know?
Yeah. That's the point. Yeah. I think that's a fair shout. I mean, that was kind of like that's one of the theories, I guess, of like Newcastle from last year to this year, right? It's like last year they kind of like sucker punched everyone and were fucking amazing, and like, no one respected them and they countered on everyone. And then now they're just being treated like a top team and it's much harder.
Especially with the way they play.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's most of the questions. I mean, I don't know if there's... I think like the questions that are still like looming for me that I'll have to like think about more, and I'll have to do another musings, and we have the live stream tomorrow and press conferences tomorrow, so there's like still a lot more action. But I'm thinking about like, am I keeping Son? Probably not. Am I going Haaland and just like hoping that he's fit for game week 21, and just this week I just start someone else who's good, whether it's like, you know, Gusto or a fifth mid or, you know, some other good defender, whatever? Or do I go Alvarez? And then I need to figure out, like, not just my captain for this week. I haven't actually looked. But, like, who are my captains for the short-term 4 to 5 to 6 game weeks? While there's no Mo, no Son, potentially no Haaland. That might also make some decisions for me. Like, I haven't looked at this yet, so I don't have any, like, read on it. But, like, if I find that there's a player that I haven't been tinkering with that much who looks like, okay, I could maybe captain them like 3 times in the next 6 game weeks or something like that. I'm just making up numbers. Then like, that's probably someone I should go towards. You know, yeah. So
I mean, that's a good question. Like who are the captain potentials without those guys?
Like, you have to, I think, assume, at least in that sort of exercise, I think you have to assume that those guys aren't going to be there. Because obviously, if Haaland's back, then, like, whatever, we'd throw it all out.
If he's playing, you're going to cap them the next, like, 5 game weeks.
Yeah, for sure. Especially with their fixtures. I mean, I think they're really good.
Newcastle, at Newcastle, home Burn, this starting in 21.
Yeah.
Home Burnley, away Brentford, home Everton, home Chelsea.
Yeah.
At Bournemouth.
I'm captaining them in all those home
games.
Pretty
much all of them, yeah.
Yeah, like most of those.
I mean, Brentford's been horrible too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. They're
Newcastle, also horrible.
Right. So, I mean, I'll just do it live, but like, so game week 21, like, who are the fixtures I'm really targeting? I mean, like,
Chelsea?
West Ham's at Sheffield. Yeah, Chelsea's home Fulham. Does, you know, Liverpool's at Bournemouth. That's not like that good. Arsenal's home Palace. Like, I don't love these fixtures. I mean,
no.
Yeah, like you could argue like Nkunku's the best captain out of this group or something like that, which is psycho, but possibly true. Game week 22, again, like it'll be Haaland, obviously, if he's fit. It'll be Alvarez if Haaland isn't fit, home Burnley. And then I guess I don't need to look further than that. It'll be one of those. Game week 23.
I think you could target Spurs next week too. United home Spurs.
You mean captain
Garnacho, Rashford, whoever you end up on?
Yeah. I mean, dude, am I crazy for thinking about Rashford?
No, not at all. I think Garnacho has looked better for longer.
Yeah.
So it's a little crazy, but
their best attacker all season. I don't think that's like a hot take at all.
No.
But aforementioned form player. I mean, Rashford's been around so long. We know exactly
who this guy is. Yeah, you just know what he can do.
If he's hot, he could just like be a brace every other game kind of guy, which we saw last season. Yeah, maybe that's my punt. You know, maybe I forego one of those defenders and, you know, whatever, and I just punt on Rashford or something like that. I don't think that's crazy. But I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to go. As of now, I think I'll have Bowen. I think I'll go Alvarez, Dom, Ollie. I think I won't have Son. I think I'll keep Saka, keep Palmer with the idea of starting Palmer. I still really believe in him. Maybe I'll go for a Rashford punt. As far as which defenders, Trent's a shoe-in, and then I'm like between, you know, which Arsenal guy, Poro, Estupiñán, Moreno. Hopefully we get some Dean injury news. Keeper, I still like Neto, who I had in my, I think I had in the most recent tinker that I posted. He's great on bones. They concede shots. You know, all you need here is cheap, whatever. But I'm, you know, very not settled on that. I haven't done too much thinking about keeper yet. But yeah, I mean, I think that's roughly where I'm at.
Damn. Neto's name is Norberto.
Even more reason to get him. Shout out to Norbert Kakache, friend of the pod.
Let's go.
Yeah, is there anything else? Wow, this is so weird looking at my team without Mo. This is the first time since game week 20 something last season that Mo will be playing a game and he's not in my FPL team. It's been a long ride.
It's a new day.
Hopefully it doesn't absolutely fucking destroy me, but he might.
Dude, it was exciting to see Sinisterra back.
Dude, every over the summer, completely every forgot other day, he was on Bournemouth. Yeah, every other day, Bournemouth would sign a guy I love.
Yeah.
And Sinisterra being one of them. And, you know, they still have fucking, is Scott, is that his name? Scott? Alex Scott or whatever?
Yeah, the guy who was sick last game.
Yeah, like everyone was saying how good he is. He came in hurt. He looked fucking amazing on highlights, good numbers. And then they still have fucking, I'm completely blank. They still have Tyler Adams. He hasn't played a minute for them. He hasn't played a single minute. He keeps having setback after setback, but it's just like, oh man, they have another amazing midfielder I love.
Yeah, that's sad. Man, they would be so good if he wasn't just,
oh my God, double pivot of Scott and Tyler Adams. Let's go.
Yeah. Sinisterra and Clivert wide.
They're so fun, dude.
Yeah.
They're so fucking fun.
I mean, Semenya's been good too. They're just Semenya's
great. Dom is having a like breakout great year. You know, Kirkez is fun. He's 19, and they're just great. And that was actually Graham Burglar's question. Are there any Bournemouth picks besides Dom? I mean, I mentioned Neto, who's pretty high on my list, honestly, for keeper. But are there any attacker picks that you like?
I mean, I like them. I don't know that I would get them.
Yeah. Story of my life.
We just need an emergence, you know, of one of them. Like, I wouldn't
Tavernier would probably be the guy.
Yeah. But I'm more excited by, like, if Sinisterra or Cliver, like, wins the job clearly, you know?
Yeah. I think the upside for Tavernier is, like, he seems to have, like, nailed himself down. And he's sort of number one, maybe 1A, 1B with Cook on, like, set pieces and stuff. But, like, there's a world where he's starting every game. Cook is not necessarily starting every game with Scott coming in and whatnot. Mm. And, like, he's playing really far forward. He's kind of number 10. He might be on all the set pieces, and he's just, like, ticking and good. But, yeah, I mean, it's just really hard to pick any of these guys over the aforementioned mids.
Yeah. I also have an eye on the Forest guys.
Alonga. You're obsessed with Alonga, right?
Well, Gibbs White also is so good.
MGW, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Nunu's got them playing and Chill. Football.
Cho is back, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, fun that's
team.
Exciting.
Another, like, completely made-up FIFA team that would never actually exist in real life except for the fact that it does.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, well, they have so many fucking players.
Basically,
Nuno just, like, started a draft team in FIFA. Yeah. There were, like, 50 guys to choose from.
Yeah, he's like, I guess I'll
They have, like, 100 defenders.
Cho Alonga with Chris Wood in the middle. Like, what?
I'll start Gonzalo Montiel and Aurier or whatever.
Yeah.
Grab bag defenders or whatever. They have Nuno Tavares still and fucking...
Yeah.
Nico Williams still somehow?
Yeah, they have Nico. He actually got an assist recently. He got an assist against Wolves. Game week 16.
Five goalkeepers.
Yeah, what the fuck is this team? But this is an actual Football Manager run team, because I think the psycho owner's son, like, tells him to buy guys from Football Manager or something. There was something to that.
My God. But yeah, I'm curious to see. I mean, it seems like he just simplified it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Obviously, he's a boring manager. He's not going to do anything too exciting, but they don't really need to, maybe. Like, just get your, like, back six to defend well, and then let
your fast wingers let some counter.
three fast guys behind a striker and let them cook, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that I feel like that's always the story, like the
old cliche
new manager bounce. It's usually just like they do the most obvious simple thing and then it just works better. Yeah. All right, dude. I think that's about it. What are you doing with your team? Do you know yet?
I'm still, like, putting out fires. So, yeah, Lascelles to Gusto is on the table. Trips to Stupinian is on the table, but maybe next week. I basically want to make a little more. I have some money in the bank. I want to make enough so that I can just straight swap for Haaland soon.
Yeah.
So I guess probably next week, go down from Mo and make a bunch of money off that.
Yeah, Gusto I thought looked really good. He put up numbers and, like, he's just so obviously should be starting every game.
Yeah,
from here on
I had
out,
him.
So
I had him for a run in, like, October, November, and it was great.
I'm very sure. I'm medium to high sure that he'll be in my team. I mean, like,
yeah, why not?
He's 4-1 and he's very good, and Chelsea are pretty good and have mostly good fixtures. Yeah. There's no reason.
They're not very good at defending, but
yeah, I mean, early in the season, I feel like they kind of were, and they were putting up at least good defensive numbers, but that just seems to maybe have gone out the window a little bit. They're such a weird team. I mean, they basically held Palace to very little except for one gigantic fucking chance that Elise scored. But they seem to do that
really
pretty
bad.
Often. Yeah.
Colwell was really bad on that. I rewatched like four times. And he just, I don't know what he's doing. He just, like, collapses and just leaves Elise completely unmarked.
It's like he's a center back playing out of position or something.
well, he should be good at marking a ball in the air. Like, yeah. You know, clearing a ball in the air.
I just feel like the angles are different. Like if you're starting from the middle, like, okay. Where he's, I don't know. I mean, I'm grasping, but like, we yeah. know he's a good center back. And then like,
well, we know he's good with the ball. We don't know yeah. he's a good center back.
But I think he was good defensively for good Brighton player. Too. But this season, he's just like kind of all over the place. I don't know. But like, I feel like Chelsea are sort of like, Chelsea defense is what people think Liverpool's defense is, but isn't actually, which is like sometimes concede like 4 XG and tons of chances. And like the other team's like, anytime Chelsea clean, it's like unlucky. Like the other team like had multiple huge chances to score.
Yeah. But
yeah, I don't know. They've also had kind of a tough run and some injuries at bad times.
And they bought such weird players.
Weird player. Lavia hasn't played a single minute this season.
Well, now he has.
Oh, he played?
He just did.
Oh played my God. First I totally minute. Missed that.
Yesterday.
Oh yeah, he subbed on in 58 minutes. Holy shit. So maybe, you know, maybe that'll help. They have like, they're so weird because I feel like they're the one team in the league where I'm like, it's hard to make an 11, but I could easily make like a 14. Like if soccer just immediately changed to 14, I'm like, oh yeah, here's their attacking five, here's their midfield four. Like easy, yeah. Nailed on. But then I have to like make cuts and start an 11 that's functional.
It
I'm
gets
like,
weird. Yeah,
don't know who to cut. Don't know who should start every game. Like
starting
and
Madueke or Mattson or Raz or
yeah, and just
Palmer
like you know,
Mudrick
Gallagher, or Caicedo, Lavia, Enzo. I'm just like, yeah, they should all start. They're all good.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, dude. Let me slap an ass here. We got one nice. New sign up, Paddy Gallagher.
Get
in there, baby. Slap that ass, Nate. Any last words?
Maybe see you not tomorrow. See you in 3 days, maybe 4 days.
Yeah, see you in 3 days or 4 days. Happy New Year to everyone. And yeah, I'll post more about my wild card tomorrow. Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfield, sportspatreon.com/fmlfield. Subscribe, rate, and
Sports Social Podcast Network.